Welcome to the Sacred Sisterhood Podcast. I'm your host, Shani Lim, an internationally certified tantric practitioner. This is where you are going to discover all things love, sex, and relationships through powerful tantric and holistic teachings where you can bring awakening into the body. Come on this journey to release, open, and step into your true essence as a woman. So I just want to welcome you to another episode. I'm here with Jacqueline from Soul Goddess. She is a beautiful woman who deals with Dharma coaching for women and soul, I don't know how to pronounce it, it's like soul entrepreneurs. She's here to unleash your soul purpose and ignite your radiance from within, I assume. Yes, Jacqueline?
Yes. Hello, Shani. Hello, everybody. I'm happy to be here.
I am happy to have you here as well. I'm so excited for you to share your story with us and how you've managed to get yourself in this position in order to be able to help so many women.
Yeah, so for me, I'm originally from Switzerland, and I had a day spa in Switzerland in the beautiful city of Basel, which is at the border to France and to Germany. So very international. And I met my husband, my ex-husband now, and I moved to Australia, closed down all my day spa, sold my house, I moved to Australia to be here. Started Pranatma Devasta, my business, and had several years ago an injury and had to stop working as a therapist, had to stop working as a yoga teacher and anything else what I learned. So yeah, it was a bit a crash. It was when
transition.
I did sound healing. I did all. I was really, I love to help people, to support women. And yeah, just my dreams crashed. And after my injury, which was a complicated wrist fracture, I experienced domestic violence. And
So how long were you married to your husband from? Just so I can clarify some things for our for the people listening in, so you came from Switzerland over here to Australia. Were you still married when that happened?
Yes. So I met my husband 2015 and we got married at the end of the year. And in 2016, I moved to Australia. And in the beginning, we had quite a beautiful relationship. And
yep.
I mean, there were several little things, but you have this in every relationship, so you don't think it's anything which you have to be careful with it. But after my injury, which happened in 2021, domestic violence started, and I was not able to work anymore. And yeah, it started with verbal abuse, emotional, mental abuse, putting down, name calling, so various things. And I was nearly for 2 years in a freeze state, in a freeze and anxiety state. I could not leave because I didn't have the money to leave. And I think this is a big problem which a lot of women face in Australia, in domestic violent relationships. You want to leave, but you're not able, and there are not enough shelters, there are not enough support, the support is not really helpful, so you have to stay in it. And for me, it was a bit a calling that I said, I want to transform my pain I had in purpose. And I started studying at the site in the time I felt able to study. So I started various fields in coaching, in somatic therapy. I did a master in life coaching, a master in spiritual coaching, art therapy, as I said, somatic therapy, pranayama, breath work, meditation. In domestic, as a domestic abuse support coach also, I inform myself about narcissistic abuse to be more aware. And this is something what I just want to offer people to help other women that I can empower them.
I love that. That sounds absolutely amazing for all of the women who could be going through a situation like this and not knowing really where to go or what to do, and having somebody like you who's been through a very similar experience that can empower a woman to essentially leave these kinds of situations and know where to head and where to go, and also do healing on themselves too. So I just wanted to ask a question. The you said at the beginning of your relationship there were like little things that had happened, but you know, I understand that every relationship kind of has, you know, their ups and downs, and we all learning from one another. However, do you feel like that was something that you missed, that that was like a red flag that you should have recognized earlier on? Or do you feel like your accident kind of had more to do with the situation unfolding more?
I think when somebody has a special narcissistic abuse, I think the abusers have their, I will call it the template, which they follow. Mm-hmm. And the thing was a bit, because the first part of the relationship, we lived apart. I mean, we visited us, but you normally, when you are in a, when a person is abusive, normally it starts, we say, with narcissistic abuse around in 6 months, where you see the first signs. But because we lived apart, so it really starts to hit when you really live together. And a big part perhaps for narcissistic abuse especially is also the person tries to isolate you. So how more can you isolate a person from their social environment than bringing them to a totally different continent? And this I was not aware of. I was not aware about narcissistic abuse. I mean, when you don't experience it often, you think it's something what happens perhaps in we'll say working or working class society, or it happens when people have addictions like alcohol or drugs. You don't believe it happens when you are married to somebody who is in a manager position.
Yes, because you said what was this gentleman that you were married to? What position was he actually in?
Yeah, so he was a manager in aviation industry, and he was well traveled. He was spiritual, so spirituality is also not protecting you. He's spiritual, he's well traveled. He was very charming, very compassionate, very supportive, it seemed. And so I really, he gave me this feeling that you can trust. And he made a lot of promises what we'll do. And you asked me before for the first sign. And I think the first sign were perhaps really the love bombing. It was perhaps a little bit too much. But you are in love and you think, okay, you met your big love. And I mean, you're also, you are also giving. So it's perhaps one of the biggest red flags is really when a woman feels it's a little bit too much, it's a little bit over the top. And another thing was perhaps it was a lot. He called me a lot. He wrote me a lot. He wrote me love letters. I mean, all what we love, really, what we think it's really beautiful, but
Yeah,
it
I
was
know. I'm hearing all these like love letters and stuff. I love that. I love being adored and cherished and those kinds of things. But where's the line? You know, like where can we recognize that actually we're being manipulated essentially into this person's life?
Yeah, it's. I think it's really when you get a little bit the feeling, and that I really invite everybody to listen to your intentions, to really listen what. And I think with narcissistic abuse, especially listen what your body tells you, because often even if you from our mind it's not working, but sometimes our body feels a bit off with some reactions. When we have these triggers, I think they are really leading us, and we should really listen what our body tells us. And the
Yeah,
next
so
thing,
oh, sorry.
sorry.
Continue.
So the next thing
I just
perhaps
wanted to
that
ask you, oh, I just wanted, can I quickly ask you a question around that, like listen to your body? Because from my experience, like being in the tantric field, I know a lot of women who are really disconnected from their body. So, you know, how can a woman really listen to their body if they're actually disconnected from it?
Yeah, I mean, if
So
you're
what are
in.
the signs? So what are the signs a woman could, I guess, the question, what are the signs a woman could recognize that, oh, this isn't good for me?
I think I mean, one is listen to the intuition. When you don't have the intuition, I think you have to ask the hard questions, because you're not able to, your body doesn't tell it. So what I think is one of the most effective things is when you really ask uncomfortable questions, because narcissists don't like them. When you
Like, for
perhaps
example,
asking something why a person is doing this, or giving a no, because narcissists don't like the no, and look how the person reacts to a no. If the person is comfortable with it
okay.
and listens to you and takes an action out of your no of it and gives you the feedback, this is okay with me that you're not like this, I will change it. Or is the person gets the person disinterested, or gets the person a bit aggressive, or is it upset? I think with setting boundaries, and I think one of the most important things is really setting boundaries, and setting boundaries with narcissists. Narcissists don't like boundaries. It's really something they don't like. And we have often the feeling when we set the boundary, we feel uncomfortable, especially women. We never learned it. We feel uncomfortable with it. But be comfortable with the boundary. And when the guy is not comfortable with it, and when he walks away, it's perhaps the best that he walked away, because you don't have to suffer. You set the boundary and he
Yeah.
leaves because he had to leave, because otherwise he would have go in a relationship where you would have to suffer.
It's very interesting actually you're saying this, because like from my example, I've recently like I've been in a narcissistic relationship before and very abusive, toxic relationships. Do
Sorry to
you
hear.
think that it's okay. Do you think that everybody has elements and moments of being a narcissistic, like not having a sound foundation that this is, I'm actually a narcissist. This is like there's moments where we lose ourself a little bit and lack a boundary or try to manipulate somebody just because we are unaware of ourselves, do you think?
I think everybody, I mean, we all have the ego in us. And I mean, it's normally developed around with 4 years old when we are in the toddler. And we have this ego. And a lot of women, when we are in an abusive relationship or especially with a narcissist, we start questioning ourselves, are we the narcissist? It is something because...
Oh, I've been there.
We start reflecting why it's happening. Because we try to find the logic in it. We try to make it better. And it doesn't work with narcissists. And I think the most important is to reflect when you do, why do you do it? Because when we do it out of compassion, because we want to change it, because we want to help the relationship, we are not the narcissist. Because the narcissist doesn't reflect. The narcissist doesn't want to make it better. The narcissist makes it on purpose. And having... I mean, we are a society of narcissism. I don't think we had ever so much narcissism in our society. I mean, the natural part of the selfie culture up to the not natural part, which is real narcissism, which can go up to malign narcissism, which is really narcissists who want to destroy other people.
Yeah, okay.
It's a, but I think a little bit narcissism is healthy in everybody, but when it goes that I want really to badly manipulate people, I mean, I say as softly, everybody, children manipulate the parents. A little bit, we always try to manipulate. Yeah. It's a little bit like a game, and it's a, but it's not that we want something bad for the other person. And I think there is change when you, the narcissist doesn't want the good for you. The narcissist wants to suppress, especially women. It's a power and control thing. And we don't want to control or overpower.
So it's interesting that you've said all of this. Like from my own experience, you said here as well that not like boundaries and saying no with a narcissist, because from my experience, you know how you said that women, we tend to reflect and then we're like, oh my God, am I the narcissist? I've done that. And I've actually Googled, am I a narcissist? Like, have I got narcissistic traits? And I believe at times, I think, like you said, everyone does. However, there's been times in my previous like relationship where I've gotten a no and I've gotten so upset because it was like a consistent no. So, and it just felt as though it was a rejection of my my needs, and that's why it upset me. And so it's like, where's the, am I the narcissist because of that too, you know, or is it just because my needs aren't getting met and that's what's really upsetting me, you know? And it's a consistent no, because I think defensive. So when you're asking for like a, you're asking for your needs to be met and then it's always on the defense. Is that like, you know, when somebody is defending and like not willing, I don't know how to really explain it, but essentially I would then always get a no most of the time. And it was so heartbreaking because it was all, it was a lot of the time and I would get really upset about it.
I mean, when it was in a narcissistic relationship, then it's really normally the no is really to upset you. The no is to suppress you. The no is to give you no word. It's another kind of no. I mean, we don't say the whole time no. For me, it's just when I said it, it's more like testing if you can do it, because the narcissist will not accept it. But the narcissist normally does it the whole time. It's a it's they don't want to feel, I mean, for them, we are supply and we have to fill their cup, but they don't want that we fill our cup. They don't want that our needs are met. They fill it in the beginning. Yeah. They really give you this where you think, oh, this is what I always wanted and wished. And they really give you, they fill really your cup in the beginning. And then they slowly start to fill it less and less. Then you get a bit more, then it gets less. And it's like when you, I mean, when you say you have the frog guard or the in the pan, how they say, and you make the heat a bit more on and a bit more on and a bit more on, and it will not jump away because it's just tiny bits. And this is how they manipulate us. But at the end, they will not give you anything. At the end, they leave you really like, they leave you dying from hunger. You can say it's really and they start treating you really, really bad. And I think when a normal human, I mean, we all have needs and we express them. And everybody needs to fill their cup. But in a normal, in a good relationship, you have a dialogue about it and you can discuss it and both reflect about it and you find a way which works for both because both want the relationship making to work it. But in a relationship with a narcissist, it's not about bringing the relationship to work. It's about the narcissist wants to fill his needs once has to be fulfilled. And this is the only thing what counts.
Yeah, so it's essentially all about them. So it's all about, sorry, it's all about them. So it's like a selfish thing. Yes?
Yeah. They don't
so
care.
About how many times you ask for your needs to be met, they need to have their needs met but aren't willing to provide your needs, right?
Yes, they don't want. And I mean, They even, perhaps some even enjoy when they hear your needs are not met. When they say a no to you, some are really so malign that they really enjoy this and they will do more of it because they want to hurt you. Because when your needs are not met and when you are, which most women are, most women who are in relationships with abusive partners, with narcissists especially, are wonderful women. They have a lot of fantastic qualities. They have a lot to give. They are often creative, often successful. It's not like narcissists choose somebody who is successful to bring them down. They don't choose somebody who is down to bring them down. This is not their, this doesn't bring pleasure to them. It's really to, when you're in a circle with, I'm in DV groups also. So when you're in a circle, you see there are all these amazing women and it's quite fascinating. But they bring us so far that we question our worth, that we question our thinking, that we question everything we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not knowing like, like this is all I've got and like maybe I only just deserve this and like I've been there. Definitely know how that feels.
It's a hard place to be and the problem is as longer you stay, perhaps because you can't leave, as longer you stay, and if you don't have like your social network, and it's very difficult to leave time to time. And as more as you stay, as more difficult it gets to leave, and as more traumatic is the experience. And I mean, a lot of women who experience domestic violence get health issues because it really affects the body. So most of the women who experience domestic violence, me included, have thyroid issues.
Yeah.
So some get fibromyalgia and others, some get even cancer. So it takes a huge toll on our body.
Do you feel like women are like misunderstood a lot of the time? Like, because obviously what I'm hearing is a lot of misunderstanding of what women really are and what we provide this world, because you're saying like really beautiful women end up with like these narcissists, and it's like is that our own self-reflection as well into like knowing our worth and knowing like how beautiful we actually really are? Because me personally, I know as well that I'm like highly neurotic, and I rate a lot higher in neuroticism, but neuroticism can also be a very beautiful thing into creativity. So, but that can also be used against me too.
I think the problem starts really in early childhood. Until today, and I think it's still happening, is that we as women, when you are little girls, we are the ones have to take responsibility. When there is a boy and a girl, mostly still the boy is allowed everything, and the girl has to help and has to take responsibility. And one of the biggest part where I thought, I don't know how it is today, but something where I think we unlearn to trust our intuition, is I was forced to shake hands to people I didn't like. As a girl, when there was somebody, we had to shake the hands and say hello. And the parents, especially my mother, she forced it. She said, yes, you have to do this. This is just to be. And time to time, I didn't like these people, but you had to, or you had to get the hug from an uncle, which you didn't like. And it's all this little thing.
I've been there.
It's all this little thing. It's like accumulating, and we lose the trust in our own body intuition. We thought, later we still do it, even knowing, and with the time we forget what we really feel about it. And we are so. And for me, when I do the Dharma coaching, is really to look where are our conditions, and we have a lot of conditions we are absolutely not aware of. And when we have this conditioning and also limiting beliefs, because we are told you cannot do this, you should not do this, and often even unaware. I don't speak from the parents who tell to the daughter or to the son, you have to do this career or you have to study this. I speak more from the subconscious, that you really start to believe you have to do this on this because this will be the good, which is not really your original, but you believe it by yourself because you are conditioned. And really starting to look where it comes from. Where did this belief the first time start? Where was the first moment in my life where I thought this is the right thing to do? And really go back,
I just wanted to question was all. So I just so what I'm hearing is that essentially as we are children and we grow up, we have been conditioned to not even trust ourselves. Because we've been pushed into, we don't feel good about that, to shake that person's hand. However, our parents are making us do it. So eventually we end up in a situation later on in life where we're doing things because we're confused, because we end up in a relationship and then we didn't trust our own intuition, that it didn't feel right.
Exactly.
So we've been pressed in our physical body and our own intuition and the what our body actually can show us.
Yes. And another part is also when we go there, what researchers now found out is, for example, that when women take the pill, for example, the hormone pill, that you choose often the wrong partner. It's quite interesting. It's interesting.
Yes, I've
seen
that.
I'm not specialized in it, but it's quite interesting that this changed something that you choose the wrong partner. So,
yeah, because it suppresses your, from what I read, I heard that it, well, from what I read, it said that it suppresses your progesterone and estrogen. So you're higher in testosterone. So you're going to go after a man who's more feminine. And I heard as well with deodorant too, you're not smelling the natural, sorry, I can't remember what it's called, but like your own perspirant, like the smelling the actual person, which is like a cover, it's a mask. You're not actually attracted to that person and can end up in a situation that you, you know, don't like.
It can end up. And the other thing is also you have to be very careful. For example, also sometimes when somebody wears a parfum and this parfum is connected with our childhood, it can waken up emotions, even if our childhood was bad, for example. It can awaken emotions which come for them of safety. Even if the person is exactly what is unsafe for us, but we are used to it, so it's comforting. And
yeah,
the other thing, what you said before, is because of the self-word, and I believe there is no woman who doesn't criticize herself, and this is something we learned also from childhood. This is something it can be from the mother side, it can be insecurity at school, somebody said some joke about something. And what they found out, what is quite interesting, is, for example, somebody makes, when you're a little child, a joke about your nose or about your clothes or about how you walk or anything. And most of the women take this until they get older, as if this was still this, and it could be just a joke and it was never really real, but we take this and we feel unsafe and we think, oh, there is something wrong with us. And you nearly found, perhaps, okay, homosexual men is a bit different, but there are not a lot of men who really criticizing themselves. But we women do. We criticize ourselves. We criticize others. We don't allow us really to grow. And for me, it's really my today. I want to empower women to really come back and to accept them how they are and see how beautiful they are and how amazing they are and what they can do and come out of this conditioning we had.
That's so beautiful. Do you think that social media has a massive impact on the insecurities and criticism that women have inside themselves?
Yes, I believe so. And I believe a big part is also all the filters. Because a lot of women use filters and other women start to believing they are like this. And I mean, we have some amazing, beautiful women, but we set like a ladder so high, how beautiful we should be. And we don't accept we are all beautiful, and we have really to learn this and not go from absolute unrealistic. I mean, before you have perhaps a Miss World or a Miss America or Miss Australia or something which were really extremely beautiful. But today you have so many women, but most of women use filters. Even if they are absolutely beautiful, they still use filters on social media. And I'm absolutely, I don't use any filters.
That's beautiful. I've been a part of a group, and all these women that I'm part of this group, I cannot believe the level of insecurities that they have. They have Botox, their lip fillers, they look absolutely gorgeous, and they still do not feel good about themselves. And they're gorgeous. I'm just thinking, like, wow, really? Like, I can't believe it. No matter the amount of work you can do on the outside of your body, the internal, your internal view of yourself is what matters. It doesn't matter if you go and do something outside of yourself, you're still going to have a level of insecurity because it's inside you, not outside of you.
And it's really from the old conditionings. It's really, and with most, it can be really something really happened in the past, and getting this switch over. And for me today, I'm somebody, I'm in the supermarket or I'm on the street and I compliment a woman. And I think we all still start doing this to really say, hey, you look beautiful. Oh, wow. Really to lift each other up to get out of this. And I mean, I am 60 now, and I can tell you, when I was 19, I was modeling, but I never felt really good. I never felt really beautiful, and I was there. And today I have to say, I spend so much time with insecurity, with not feeling, oh, I'm not enough, I'm not this. And when I look back, when I see the photos, I thought, hey, you were amazing, you were so beautiful. But realizing this in this age, it's really not accepting myself for that long. And I really invite every woman, really start, look in the mirror, tell yourself, hey, I'm beautiful, and start to look at the beautiful things, and don't stop comparing yourself with others. Most what you see is really fake. It's not real. It's not. And at the end, the person is something what shines from the inside. And when you're happy with yourself, when you start loving yourself, and I mean, everybody has little, we all have our not so good things, but it's okay. And this makes us unique. This makes us special. So really start loving yourself.
I love that. Another question. Do you believe that, like, these insecurities that women have, do you think that the more these insecurities that do you believe that they attract, like, narcissists in their lives?
I mean, as said, every woman nearly has insecurities, and it attracts, of course, narcissists, because they will, at the beginning, they will start complimenting you, and then after, they take away and get you in the insecurity, and they may even say bad things about it. And yes, insecurity attracts narcissists. When somebody is fully, but I think there is nearly nobody, but when somebody is really full about, I'm so good, nobody, I think a narcissist stays away. But there are not a lot of women which really give this. And you have to have only a little bit, it doesn't have to be, only a little bit insecurity is already enough. The narcissist will look that he really goes with the knife in this round. So.
But I think as well, like, I hear what you're saying. Yes.
Another thing is also that our whole society is built up on the insecurity of women. This is a huge market. It's the whole advertisement, be it for parfum, be it for cream, be it for clothes, be it for anything. If women wouldn't feel insecure, this market will crash. So the market does everything to keep women insecure. To say, when you take this cream, you will look like this. When you take this Botox or anything, we look more beautiful. But at the end, most of women, even if they do all this stuff, and even if they look absolutely amazing, they still will feel insecure. You have to work on yourself.
Yes, from the inside.
Yeah.
And do you think that, like, I don't really know how to, like, I don't want to put a man in a box or anything like that. However, a lot of men actually entertain those insecurities in a woman. So let's say, essentially, she's posting these filtered photos on Instagram and they're like, she's got her boobs out and all these other kinds of things because she wants to be validated. And then a man goes and entertains that. So he's also putting that energy, not only energy, but his attention into these women as well, which only further fuels this societal problem that we have.
I mean, what I experienced, what I have to say, I didn't experience this in Switzerland, but I experienced it a lot in Australia, is a lot of misogyny. And I think
misogyny,
And I see here that a lot, and especially the real Australians, not perhaps so much the foreigners, which are the new generation, but a lot of the, especially in Queensland, I see it a lot. I cannot really say from everywhere, but I see it's a lot of misogynists, and they feel absolutely amazing, and they really like to suppress women. And a lot of these men, what I experienced, they see like a woman as an object. They don't see the women. They choose a woman for their beauty, for their look, but they don't choose it because it's really because they are interested in the women. And I really believe we have to stop this. It's like we sell ourselves when we look only on the body, and then the guy comes and think, oh, this is not really love. Love is really when a person is interested in you, when a person loves how you are, what you are, more than your body. And if you're in this insecurity, we attract this man who, as you said, who want to suppress us. They objectify us. They don't take us serious really as a partner. They want somebody just to show off, and often later mostly to abuse. It's not. And when I was back in Switzerland, I think generally with Europe is, I mean, you have the machos and the, but it's not, they still love women. They still love women. They still respect women. They are sometimes very charming. They are gallant. They a bit flirtous, but they have the respect from a woman. Yeah. And here I don't see a lot of respect. I don't see a lot of men who have real respect from women. And
that's because they objectify us. Yes,
they objectify us. And I mean, if we dress like this, if we fulfill like this, like, they don't take us as real as the person. They take us because of the image we, and, but if we are ourselves, do what we love, express what we think, and accept us how we are, we will attract less of this kind of man. And the other thing is, I mean, there is Tate and all these people who really teach this man how to get a woman doing everything what they want. And it's really here's one of the guys. There are more of them around, and they teach also on social media for men, how they get the women in the bed, how they suppress her slowly, how they devalue, how they can get more violent sexuality and all this stuff. And he really teaches this, and he should be in jail, in my opinion, but this is my personal opinion. But there are people like this, and I think as more we are ourselves, as more we are empowered, we will perhaps not have that many men who look for us, but we will perhaps get the good men who want the real relationship.
The ones that have that. Yes, and the respect and adores us and cherishes us beyond what we just physically look like. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So do you think that men have something going on inside themselves as well, which and to obviously entertain these types of women with these insecurities who have to go and like, because women are also putting themselves in that position to be objectified, right? So do you think that men also have a responsibility there too, you know, on like not entertaining those kinds of things and working on themselves so that they too can not only have, not only get a woman just because of her looks, but also because of who she is in her heart and in her soul and in, you know, her spirit?
I mean, I know there are men who are like this, but there are not many, especially not here. And if there are, they are mostly happily married. And I think, I mean, I hold them responsible. I hold them fully responsible. And I don't believe these men are really happy. And it's perhaps also a sign that we have a lot of suicides of men, because men are violent towards women, and this doesn't make you really happy. I mean, at some stage you may feel guilty, except you're a narcissist, but normally at some stage you will feel guilty doing this. But these are people who are not really fulfilled. Their life is not fulfilling. They don't have a purpose in life. They are unhappy with themselves. And, but they are responsible.
I've heard a lot about that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when you hit your wife and your children, how can you be a happy person? I mean, but they do this because they want to be a strong man. They want to show that they have the power. They are frustrated because they don't change the life, but they are responsible on their own to change the life. It's not the woman's responsibility to change them. I think every being has the responsibility to work on themselves and to reflect and to change things.
Yes, of course. Man and man or woman.
Yes. But I think men are less... there are less men who are really want to change. I think men are often, especially when they get older, they get quite rigid. And I think women are always too our body changes, be it from menstruation after to menopause and all this, our body is always changing. So we are used to transform, and men are not used to it.
Yeah,
but I still keep them responsible.
No, because they don't necessarily go through as many changes as what we do as women in, like, you know, going from not menstruating to menstruating, then to not menstruating again, and like there's transitions for us, whereas a man doesn't have these huge physical and hormonal changes either.
No, they don't have. But they still, I mean, everybody is capable of change. It's not that they aren't, but I mean, the funny thing is always when you look at men, most keep their hairstyle from the time where they are around 30. And they don't change anymore. They stay in this state and they just get older.
Yeah. I've noticed like a lot of men are, you know, between the ages of like 30 and 40, they obviously focus a lot on making money. And then it's like from there, I understand that it comes from like men needing to provide and all of these kinds of things for the woman in his life. But then it's almost like they use that because I've provided for you. I'm allowed to go and do objectify women if I want, you know, or cheat on you or do those kinds of things and be really unfaithful in their relationship, which essentially is not respecting women. But I've definitely noticed this pattern in men as well, like this unfulfillment that they have within themselves.
I think a lot, as you said, a lot of men, what I more realize is a lot don't even want to provide anymore. I mean, in my opinion, yeah, the men should still see be the provider, even if you are working, but I think he should have this responsibility to provide and look for the family. And most of them, it's just they don't care anymore. And as you said, they abuse the woman, they objectify, they cheat, they do everything, and they don't really take their role anymore. And And I think they are also, I mean, they're also unhappy, but it's on them to do their hobbies, to do their stuff. It's not on women to look for this. I love when a man is really in his male element, in his masculine element, and is the provider, and but still loves to support really the feminine and is not suppressing it. It's really I think really men who should really be bringing this support, bringing this safety for his wife, for his children, really, if she works or not, but still bringing this support into the relationship while the woman is more the nurturer. And I mean, okay, there are relationships where it's perhaps a bit opposite, but I think this is still the natural role. And
yes.
But I think today is you can nearly not trust anybody anymore. And I think this is a lot that a lot of women step more in the masculine, because you have to look for yourself. You cannot rely on anybody. You have to do it all on your own.
Yeah, and it is getting like really scary and scary for women. Like I see a lot of women in their masculine energy, and it is scary because the level of like you want to trust, but then experience has shown you otherwise, in this consistent toxic cycle that society seems to be in, is making us not trust in somebody being able to provide for us and you know, give and respect us in who we are, instead of objectifying us and then cheating on us and doing all of these other kinds of things. And I can understand why a woman would be very scared and afraid into you know, being in a relationship at all.
I mean, when you're in a relationship, let's face it, I mean, I don't say every, there are really great relationships, but I would say around 80% of the relationship, when we have the classic thing, which is less and less classic, but when we have the classic situation, the man works, the woman is housewife, perhaps she does still another work, perhaps for some hours a day or some hours a week. She looks for the children, she cooks, she does the household, she does everything. A lot of these men are just, they go to work, they come home, they sit in front of the TV. They don't really, I mean, they bring perhaps the money, the most of the money, but they bring nothing to the relationship, really. They don't bring anything emotional or supportive in the relationship. They just think, I have worked, I sit down, I do nothing. But the women is perhaps nearly working 24 hours, looking for the children, still doing a work, doing the house, not looking for him, nurturing everybody. And at the end, it's really sad. It's sad. It's not a lot what we get. And the other thing is, even in the spiritual community, what I really realized, there is so many people and men who call them spiritual, but they are just serial cheaters. It's just using women. They are the gurus, and they just misuse it to get the women into bed. It's not really, they speak about respect and all, but it's not really, it's still objectifying and manipulating women. It's not really, there are not a lot of safe men really here. And I think it's a worldwide problem. It's really a big problem.
Yeah. It's interesting because obviously, like in the tantric community, you get a lot of that too. Who I've known a lot of the tantric men who utilize this sexual energy to, to use women and to get their needs met sexually. And it's really scary because it's like, wow, these men are just not at integrity with themselves at all. And it is scary because, obviously with like the sexual energy, you're transferring those energies between the two people and you're just taking on all of that person's energy too.
And I think
it is very scary, I think, for women.
It's very scary. And I mean, women are often, they are naive because they, and especially when the guy is the guru and they really trust this person and believe he will look for them. He offers this safe space and these guys don't do it. And as women, we take more energy on. So it's not good.
So what do you think like women can do for themselves in order to be able to like navigate this this society problem, these issues with men, these all of this kind of stuff? What do you think is the best way that a woman can look after herself and to also get what she wants out of life? Because it is scary and it is like hard to trust somebody and it is, you know, hard to find somebody who is in integrity and has transparency and is a safe space for us as women, because we've been shown so much throughout life that what does it mean to be a woman? Oh, I just have to like have big boobs and be posting that on social media and then I can get who I want, but then it ends up in this toxic cycle. So what do you think that women can do in order to be able to have, I guess, like a really beautiful relationship or like with themselves too?
First, perhaps one funny comment about it is there was a research which showed that married women get less old than unmarried one and married men get older. So perhaps keep this in mind. So I think the first goal should not be really to find a partner. The first goal should be really to look for yourself, really to know thyself, really to know, really to explore who you really are and finding your life purpose. And I think when you find your life purpose and when you really do what you want and when you express what you want, I think there is the less chance to attract the wrong partner. And the thing is also when you work on yourself, you will start also, because you do what you love, you will also start loving yourself more and really take the time to care for yourself and take the importance away to find a partner, really enjoy life, enjoy yourself and Yeah, enjoy time with friends. It's, I mean, you can be absolutely happy with, even if you're single, instead unhappy with somebody who treats you badly. And don't do all this Botox and all this. It doesn't help you to feel more beautiful. It doesn't give you more self-esteem. Most women get with the time, they get really issues with it. I knew many women who has to take their silicone out of the boobs, who had issues with the face. So, and especially when you're young, really, you don't need this. You're beautiful how you are. Really, start loving yourself. Start doing the things you love. Don't care for other people, what they think. And I think when we really express this, when we are happy with ourselves, we attract the right tribe and perhaps also the right partner.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining me here today. And I hope that a lot of women can gain a lot of information from you and your experience and everything that you've been through and what you do and how you are of service to women on the planet. And I'm so, so happy to have had you on here and so grateful as well. I would love to share with everybody, like, where can they find you, and do you have anything that you want to share that's coming up for you, like in your coaching or anything like this?
Yes. Yeah, so thank you everybody too that to have me here. Thank you, Shani. So yeah, you can find me on Soul Goddess on Instagram. You can find me on Soul Goddess on Facebook. If you want to see more, it's on IAOTH. You find there a little bit what I have, all what I started. You can see the whole thing, but on Soul Goddess on Instagram and on social media, you can communicate with me, you can contact me. And I am working at the moment at some programs, and I hope they come out until the end of the year. And yeah,
I just got shivers. I'm so excited for that. I'm so excited for all of your programs, because these women who go through this domestic violence, I think, definitely need somebody like you in their life to be able to support and help them through this transition.
Thank you so much, Shani.
You're welcome. Got all little shivers over in my body.
No, we have to change.
So thank you so much for joining.
Thank you so much for having me here.
What was that?
I say we have to change it. We have to empower women and to that they start loving their, themselves and stopping the domestic violence. And
I love that. I love that. Thank you so much, Jacqueline. I'm so happy and grateful, and you're a beautiful person and a beautiful soul, and I'm so grateful for having you on the show with me today. And I wish you all the best in your business, and I hope that some of the people who are going to listen to this, and I hope that they're able to get some of your guidance as well if they're going through a really, really hard situation.
Thank you so much, and all the best, and yeah, all the best to everybody. Thank you for listening.
All my love.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Sisterhood podcast. For more great resources, in person and online workshops, find us at alphayoni.com. Instagram, The Goddess of Love, and Facebook under Shani Lee. See you next time.